like living with a six-year-old.
I still go on play dates. I just call them play dates so I can go out with Eric and Paul and Adam.
You sound like his mom. He likes sport too. You guys would be such good friends.
I'll do all the technical aspects. Adam will be the face. Paul will be the muscle. And then Eric will be the sales guy.
We're screwed from the muscle.
Paul will be muscle and the troubadour.
I handed a jar to my son to open the other day, so we're in bad shape.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Four Fathers Podcast, where we talk about faith, family, and other F words.
Welcome to the Four Fathers Podcast.
I'm Paul.
I'm Fife.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Eric. And this is a podcast about faith, fatherhood, friendship, and other F words like favorable circumstances.
Hadouken!
And apparently Street Fighter. Who knew?
It's another F word.
Sort of.
Yes.
The fighter part of it is. Yeah. Freet Fighter?
Freet Fighter?
Stay on target.
Yeah, no joke. Why would I start now?
Reboot.
So, you know, we've been talking about a lot of fun stuff. We've been doing some rehashes and stuff to share with you who we are and why we do this. But, you know, one of the topics that's been near and dear to my heart lately, especially, is the conversation about God using all of our circumstances to help us grow, to bring us life more abundantly. And so I figured it would be a good conversation for this group of guys who have been following God for a long time, you know, almost 30 years, most of us, maybe a little longer. And so I wanted to give you guys an opportunity to talk about an example of God working together something in your life that you learned. And, you know, it could be from any time. One of the things I was thought about doing was doing it when you were younger and seeing how that's changed now that you're older. But it doesn't really matter if any time in your life, what's one set of circumstances that God has used to grow you that have that felt like a supernatural orchestration, like, you know, things you couldn't have put together suddenly come together.
Yeah, I can start. I mean, I'll first say that I'm at the point now where just knowing that he's in control when I'm going through something helps me while I'm going through something, you know, like everything with us just purchasing our house and not having heat and having not having clean water for a while.
Where'd you move?
to New Hampshire, like everybody said I should. Hey, Paul, come to New Hampshire. Oh, yeah, don't drink the water. Don't drink the water.
And you have some heat.
And it's really cold. Yeah, we use wood. Yeah. No, it's like the 1700s, but you'll be fine. You'll be fine. You have to pee in a jar under your bed, but it's all good. And you'll definitely die on the Oregon Trail, but it's all good. No, I love it. I love a new house. I love being here, but it's it came with its challenges. And
New Hampshire, take it or leave it, but whatever.
And I just see that won't fit on a license plate.
so it's just a state slogan.
Yeah. So I think while I'm going through that, the whole time I knew he was in control. I knew there was stuff that I could learn that he's teaching me. You know, I'll tell you that I'll give this example. So more recently, I've been leading worship at church. I've been kind of the primary worship leader, which is something I hadn't been in 16 years, 15 years, right? So I led at Mill City Vineyard for the 6 years there. And then now, 15, 16 years later, I'm leading worship on a regular basis.
All of life comes full circle.
Well, and that's the thing, right? Like when I went to the church that I'm at now, Harbor of Hope in Chelmsford, I was burnt out from being at Mill City Vineyard. But I also was like there was some pride in me going, I can do this. I can lead worship. And I think watching other people and just going through times of, yeah, I can't do this. Like, what am I doing? And I really had honestly thought that I had put that on the shelf, and I was kind of content. I'm like, I'm 45, you know, now 46, but at the time I was 45, I was like, I'll never do this again. And I'm fine with that. And it's okay. And like, because of COVID and other, for other reasons, like, here I am, and I'm like rediscovering like this whole like creative, like artistic, like music, like it's been like a, oh yeah, like this, I forgot how much fun this was, and I forgot, like, yeah, it's a challenge, and, you know, understanding now the parts of the job that I don't like the scheduling part that's challenging, but I know like why it's challenging, and I know like why, and I know from a ministry perspective, when you're not doing something that you're kind of not called to do, it's really hard. But when you're doing something that you are called to do, it's a little easier, and you enjoy that part. So I certainly feel more prepared now to do it than when I was before, but which is one thing that he taught me. But the other thing, and now he's like, yeah, go fail, man. Like, it's all good. Go fail. Oh, look at that. Some pictures from Adam, not just an auditory distraction, but a visual
distraction.
Visual one as well.
We're getting at both barrels tonight.
That's right. Guys. That's right.
1980.
We'll have to show that.
1998.
Yeah.
It's a visual presentation.
A visual. A picture of us on
a sky coaster.
The sky coaster at Six Flags. Was that New Jersey? Is that where you are?
That was where you are in Darren.
There you go. That was awesome. So I think now just understanding the priorities, like being comfortable to fail, like it's not all, I don't feel like the world is on my shoulders as much. I feel like I'm leaning into the right things, like the, you know, putting people over the job. And I know at the time I would have been, you know, very like, oh, I would need to lead just perfectly, and this has to be the perfect song, and y'all have to, you know, my way, the highway. And, you know, I just think, and it is so hard because 15 years is a long time. And there was time when I was quite content and quite, it wasn't even on my radar. I mean, it was kind of like when I met Liz and we got married, like I was actively looking, and then I legitimately stopped looking and be like, you know what, I'm not going to worry about it. Like, this is ridiculous. It's really hard to find somebody in that, and, you know, in the same way. And I don't know if that's a, you know, God likes playing tricks or what. He's like, or if he's like, hey, now it's not about you. Now you can put yourself aside, and you know, you're not going to be selfish about things. You're not going to be prideful about things, or, you know, not as much as you will be. I'm sure there's, believe me, there's still some pride there. I'm sure. That's kind of, as a worship leader, that's kind of what we do. Unfortunately.
Pride.
Yeah. It's a tough one for us. But yeah, so I think that's, I think, and again, I just would, you know, I'm going to end what I said with what I started by saying, like, just knowing that what he's getting in control and being able to see it and be able to watch it makes it so much. You still like ask, like, you know, when we didn't have heat in the house, I was like, this is stupid, God. Like, I could have heat instead, would be nice.
And I could still be in Lowell
and I could
in my house.
Exactly. Yeah. I could be heating a much, like, smaller house. Mr. Travers,
wear another sweater.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I could be taking actual showers instead of like pouring some hot water on my face.
Why didn't you come over to my house?
I went to somebody's house about once a week or so. That was kind of nice.
How many times do we have to send the emergency rescue boat?
Yeah. Oh, dude, that's so true. Yeah, that's so true. Right. Well, I think that he teaches us that too, right? Like, that's a good point. Like, this was definitely a season of allowing other people to help me.
Good.
So yeah. So that's, he's there always orchestrating, and it's cool in retrospect.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think sometimes the way he orchestrates doesn't feel great at the time.
Yeah.
And I don't know that that's always the case, but it's definitely the case.
Yeah.
Sometimes, right? That the trials that we're in are they feel really brutal sometimes.
Yeah.
They're like, you know, it's hard to stay focused.
Like now.
Yeah, right. Like now. But so you did worship 15 years ago. How did you end up doing worship now? Like, God orchestrated it, but how did, like, what did he do that put you in there? Was it just a circumstance in your church where there was a need?
Yeah.
Was it you felt called? Like, what was the deal?
Yeah, I would say a little of both. I mean, I would say that there was a need, and it was one of those things where, like there was a need, and then I stepped in and I was like, oh yeah, like I can do this. Like like I'm not as, you know, schooled or learned in like music or music theory or like vocal lessons or playing guitar. But I just stepped in and was like, oh yeah, like I don't necessarily have to be perfect.
Right.
And I can just be like lean into what I can lean into. And again, I really enjoy it. Like I really like the scheduling and the stuff. Like I love picking songs out. But the scheduling is challenging. But when we get there on Sunday and I get up on stage, it's like, oh yeah, like this is awesome. Trying to get the song just right and trying to feel the dynamics and the flow and, you know, using the service to tell a story. And I'm just at a church where it's all about the parable of the lost sheep, right? The 99, and he goes at the one. Like, we're all about the one. We're like, look, I want to make this a place where anybody can come in with any background and you feel loved, just like the person that's been doing this and coming to church for 100 years or whatever. So a lot of it was a need. And then I just, and it was at the same time where God was like, hey, here's some leadership stuff you need to look at. And like, oh yeah, you need to do some leadership stuff at work too. And hey, you need to look at this stuff too. Like he started pushing me in these directions the pushing was like, I found it interesting. Like, you know, we were talking on lunch today and, you know, Adam, I'll call you out a little bit, not call you out in a bad way, but like, you were like, man, I don't want to be a manager. And like, dude, that was me for so long. And then like, it just wasn't like, I was like, oh no. Like for me, where I am at church, I was like, I need to love my team. I need to figure out how to do that. In order to do that, I need to be a better leader. So I need to learn how to do that. So I need to just do it. Like, that's the other thing that he orchestrated was like, hey, like for years, he was like, Paul, you can't stay on the sidelines and learn anything. Like, that's all I wanted to do is I wanted to sit on the bench and watch. And then as soon as
I want to be a research student at a college. I don't want to actually do it. I just want to learn about it.
Right. Right. Exactly. I'm going to sit on this bench. And when I know how to hit a home run, I'm going to walk up and I'm going to go hit. But like, life so doesn't work like that. So he like built over time was like, no, you need to get comfortable with failure. You need to be comfortable with like walking out on a, you know, on the edge of a cliff and jumping off. So yeah.
Your God is risky.
Dude, he is not a safe God. He's a roaring lion. What is that from?
God is not a safe lion.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
He's not safe, but he is good.
I kind of see that kind of from the other side of I understand what you mean in the context of not being safe, but at the same time, I feel like he's safe because he's my net. Like I can, I'm the opposite of all, you know, from where you're kind of coming from. I never really did any of I didn't care whether I had all of my I's dotted and T's crossed and I had the education. It's like if the opportunity was presented to do something that I was confident enough in my walk with God that even if I looked stupid along the way, it was more for the purposes of him and what he was trying to do in me. So whether I had the skills today, and it's kind of funny you mentioned how when you were 15 years before to 15 years, you know, after in music, I feel like a lot of times in my life, it's all this, like you don't repeat things in the sense that you're just repeating it to do the same stuff over again. What are you doing?
He's just stay random, focused. He's random distraction boy tonight.
Apparently, he's next in line. I feel like when you start something and it's like reading a very long book with, you know, thousands of chapters in it or whatever it is, but every chapter you go through, you're going to do a little bit of what you did in the previous chapter, but you're going to do it in a different way. And for me, it's like, I always tried not to stay focused. Can't focus and talk and look at your photos at the same time. You're next.
Yeah, Paul. Just,
yeah, for our audience sorry. Members, that would be Adam, totally, you know, steering the ship
gosh.
Off the
rails.
How about that for
T-Nock, get some ham.
The ship off the rails. Yeah, so it's just like, you know, I always, I guess maybe as I get older, I'm realizing those moments that even though I don't do, like I've done something and I didn't feel fully equipped, I still did it and had something to learn and understood, you know, more of my character and who I was, with the intention that, you know, the next phase, the next step, the next chapter is going to be this, you know, just more of me getting stretched, more of me being out of my comfort zone, more of me learning about me and the people I am around and relationships and whatnot. So it's funny you use the phrase orchestrated, because when you orchestrate something, it almost kind of gives it a finite approach. And yeah, I know God knows the big picture from beginning to end and how many hairs are on your head and whatnot. But in my little realm, it's like my story is being played out. I don't know what's going to look like tomorrow. I don't know what's going to look like in 20 years. I have a rough idea of what I want it to look like, but God knows it's going to be something totally different. So that excites me. And that's like something that's more important as I get older in my life, to want to have more of those opportunities and live those days every day for what they are, versus just doing, am I going to sit on the sidelines and try to, not to, you know, belittle what you were saying, Paul, but just like it wants to excite me more to get out there and try something a little bit more. And I see that you're saying you're doing that now in worship and stuff like that, where you're just trying to open the thing and see how far it goes and see whether or not people, you know, are receptive to it, versus like, yeah, that's a little scary and weird. Let's not do that next week type thing. But that's like God doing, you know, something of a work in you and stretching you and growing you. And so I would love to encourage that and say, keep doing it, because it's what God wants you to do. And I know from my personal experience, that's what he's done in my life. And, you know, a lot of times I get picked on because, you know, you guys make a comment about like how I said something or whatever, but like, I don't care.
What? That's ridiculous. We don't pick on you for your movie choices or for your hair or for your tires that catch on fire or for your age.
Yeah, right. That's correct. I am totally off base with this whole entire
that's
thing.
That's ridiculous.
The other 52
how dare you?
Episodes, whatever number we're on, you know, I can go back and I can't count on hand just how many times
you've
done
it. So
how dare you? How dare you? I said good day.
Thank you. Yeah, so.
Well, you said orchestrate, and I think the key is that we don't see the orchestration as we're going. Like the next step is, hey, what's the next right thing? What's the next step? It's, you know, the GPS, like, hey, take this turn. And then what? Hey man, don't worry about it. Just take this turn. But when we look back on it, then we're like, oh wow, he put all the notes in the right place. And boy, if he didn't have this arranged this as such, I wouldn't have ended up here, which is exactly where he wanted me, you know, in this. So like the orchestration, I think happens. We noticed that it's been orchestrated, but yeah, you know, it would be great if he was like, hey, here's all the steps that you're going to do. Here's all the parts you're going to play. And you're going to end up here. And it never works like that. It's always like,
I don't think we could handle it, dude. I don't think our heads fathom that.
Oh, yeah.
We just explode. It's funny what you were saying, how like, you know, wanting to know everything going on and whatnot. Though every time someone says that, I think of that one scene in Braveheart where the whacked out guy is like, he comes to say to Braveheart, you know, that he wants to basically go with him and, you know, fight together. And, you know, all of a sudden he stops and he's talking and the guy's like, who are you talking to? I'm like, I'm talking to God.
Oh,
like,
the Irish
you know,
guy.
Just like, the Irish guy
from Ireland.
Just like, you know, he's so like far fetched, but at the same time, he's just like, so rooted to like, you know, hearing whatever that is. And it's like, okay, the next step versus like, here's 20 steps. And, you know, 20 steps for me would be so, it would be bad, because if I knew the next 20 steps, I'd say, well, I don't want to do 1 through 19. We're just going to go straight to 20. Screw that.
Yeah.
How do I make this more efficient?
Oh, dude, all the time.
No, it wouldn't be an efficiency, dude, because I already know the end result. So it's like, screw the rest of it. It's going to eventually be like that on step 20. So let's just get to the end. But then you don't get to enjoy life. You don't get to make connections. You don't meet people. You don't, you know, open yourself up to more opportunities to get hurt, but at the same time, you know, heal the hurts and, you know, all, you know, everything in between. So it's interesting and a struggle, and I wouldn't want it any other way, I guess.
And one of the things that I love about this is that we, you know, to sound like an IT geek, we have a fault tolerant God, right? Like, you talked about how it's all orchestrated. The reality is God already knows all of the failures we're going to miss, all of those notes we're not going to hit. And he's already planned the next set of notes that get us to where we need to be.
Or better, he celebrates those faults. He celebrates those bad notes, the notes that we don't like to play because we're out of tune. He celebrates those in the sense that, you know, he just knows that they're getting us one step closer to becoming poor.
Well, right. He turns them to good. I don't think he relishes our pain, but I think he uses our pain and our struggles and our frustrations and our misses and our failures to help us, because, you know, Steve Skinner used to say this all the time, right? God is in the business of exposing our hearts.
Yeah.
Right. We often can cover up and whitewash who we really are, what we really think. And somehow the circumstances that we go through that God orchestrates bring the reality to the surface and make it so we have to come face to face with who we really are.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think that God is incredible in that, because I think he celebrates and turns those horrible things into great opportunities for us to learn and grow. You know, to come back to what you were saying, Eric, because I think there's reality there. I don't think he hates our faults. I think he loves us where we are, but I also think he, you know, to sound a little cliche, he loves us too much to leave us there too.
Right, 100%.
And so, and I think that's kind of what we're talking about, is that's that orchestration. And as long as we're willing to keep pushing into what God has for us, I think we see that steady upward climb. You know, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's just funny. It's like, we use the word orchestrate. And so for me, when I think of the word orchestrate, I think it's finite. Like it's finished. It's complete. When you orchestrate something, even though it sort of seems that it's in process, to me, you know, I think of an orchestra and I think of something that they're producing. It's usually complete and done and final.
In 7 minutes or whatever.
Yeah.
Right?
Whatever it is. It's got a beginning, middle, and an end, and you know exactly how the whole path is. But like, I don't know. It feels like it puts like God in my life and me and all my stuff that I've got from past, present, and future into a box. And, you know, that's I hate being in a box. I never fit
the mold. Type B
plus. Yeah, right.
Yeah. True. I guess.
Well, and I understand what you're saying, because we think of songs in their, you know, how do they fit into my playlist? How many minutes do they add to my playlist, right? Even orchestral songs.
I blame cassette tapes for that, but anyway.
I only have 90 minutes.
No, I have 120. 120, man, come on. No dead air.
But yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying, but I would argue that the orchestration is a 90-year process or whatever. That it doesn't stop for 7 minutes, yep. But I get what you're saying. Like, and the reality is, for me, it's the word that I've been using, but it could just be coordinates, right. You know? We, like, a lot of people talk about him weaving the canvas of our lives, mm-hmm. right? Like putting all of the strings into place. There's a lot of different ways to illustrate it. In the end, it comes back to the fact that God is in control. And if we let him, he'll turn our lives into something beautiful, something amazing, something that affects the world that we're in towards his kingdom. And that's pretty powerful stuff.
The funny word, though, that I think kind of maybe would replace it for me, that I was just kind of doing is, thesaurus on, is score. Like a score, not like as a score, musical score. That's something that's a lot.
I thought you were talking about getting lucky. I'm sorry.
Once again, may this be noted in this podcast right now, I have not decided to turn it down the rabbit hole. And note at number minute 39, Mr. Romanak has once again turned the ship on its ear.
You can.
He finally stepped in. But yeah, like when you write a score is huge
in
movies and music, and it's kind of like the epiphany of a lot of them, you know, the movies built.
Yeah, it's a tie together of all of the songs for a specific soundtrack. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So I thought you put in like a risk score, like some, and you're going to lay out your KPIs and dot the I's across the T's and some success criteria, build a nice program. Put some PowerPoint decks together.
Pie charts with synergy. Pie charts. I thought I was geeky with false.
Close down the business thesaurus in your computer and look at me.
Synergy.
What about you, Adam? What's one circumstance that's...
Sure, I have nothing else to do.
Good. So, I'm glad you have nothing else to do. Provide us a response.
So I think for myself, there have been some key points in my life where there have been situations where I know God is in control. One specific example that I have is I think I was 7 and we were out in Lunenburg. We were vacationing up at Shirley Pond, where we used to go every summer for like 2 or 3 weeks. We went out to the store. I think it was Kmart at the time down in Lunenburg. I hopped out of the car and fell out of the station wagon, and my dad didn't notice, and my leg got caught underneath the back of the car.
I know. Let's clarify, the brother wasn't listening because dad told him to stay in the car, but he wanted to go into the store.
So he ended up driving over my leg, like over my ankle in the station wagon.
Fully. Oh, my word.
And it should have broke, but it didn't. And we ended up rushing up to the emergency room, and there was just a bruise. So that was like one big example that I look back on, like, you know, there are points in life where we do dumb things and God's grace is there to lend a hand.
And from that moment, sometimes Adam knew he was unbreakable, and he became Bruce Willis.
Or he became the best hurdler in Massachusetts.
That's right.
But no, there have been many, many examples that situations where I've been dumb, or situations where I realized I took a wrong turn, that God has course corrected, where grace has just been abounding. So it's one of those things that's like, it's kind of helped in a lot of areas of just trusting and being able to be faithful in that area, because and keep on reminding myself that he knows everything I'm going to do even before I do it, you know, which is kind of remarkable. So not to say I'm going to go base jumping right now, not pack my parachute because God's going to save me.
He's like, no. Yeah, no, you're not. You're gonna go mapling in a couple weeks.
Okay, maybe I am.
You know,
and you might go sailing over a big, large bump on a quad, but not jumping from the base of a mountain.
Now, if we only could have thought that stream was not a river.
Forge ahead, my friend. Forge ahead.
So in essence, really, just realizing the fact that for my own self and for the things that I do, that ultimately everything I do, he's in control, you know, which really puts a calming perspective on a lot of things, especially when life can get us stressed out. So,
yeah, I think that's real. Like the perspective that brings, and the peace that once we settle into it, the peace that we can have because of that, makes a big difference in how we respond to situations. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So I was thinking about this, and I, you know, like you guys said, there's dozens of places that I'm aware of where God has like worked things out in ways that I didn't expect, that I couldn't have put together to accomplish things that have been transformational in my life. And, I thought about a lot of them, but I think the one that I settled down on is back in 2001, I had just bought my first house. My daughter was just born. And I had a great job at a dot-com company during the dot-com bubble.
Poof.
And then it burst. Mm-hmm. And the company that I worked at hired me at 600 employees going up, and like 2 years later laid me off at 200 employees going down. Wow. And I got laid off with a mortgage, with a kid, with a wife, with no idea what I was going to do. And you know, there were so many circumstances. I ended up being laid off for 14 months. On a positive note, I got to collect unemployment from Massachusetts, which has much better unemployment than New Hampshire.
Yeah. Hashtag taxes.
Hashtag. Yeah. I mean, if I'm going to have to pay taxes to a state, I might as well collect from them.
There you go. 100%. Yep.
And I tried to make a run of consulting, actually. I tried to make a run of starting a business, and I ended up being unemployed for 14 months. And there were some points in there where, actually, one of my favorite stories is the story where God showed me his provision. I went to church on a Sunday, and I had three bills that were basically threatening to shut off. I think it was my car insurance, my electric, and my gas. And I walked in, and one of my good friends at the time, Jacob Alexander, was preaching because Steve Skinner was actually out for that week. And he was talking on how God takes care of people. And I remember being in that service and from the back of the church yelling, you know, Jacob, I mean, I understand what you're saying and I see it in scripture, but I'm not seeing that reality right now.
Yeah.
And Jacob's like, that's fine. Let me finish the sermon. And then at the end, he took an offering from the church for Heather and I. And the money that you guys collected, the one money that everybody gave on that Sunday, actually paid exactly for the three bills that were about to be shut off. Hmm. And you know, that's just one circumstance, kind of like Adam's thing about getting rolled over by a car and not having any damage. But like, I look back at that, and that was the beginning of me really beginning to understand that God was trustworthy.
Yeah.
You know, that was the beginning of me really beginning to understand that I had a God that cared enough to do something for me, not just with me. You know, he wasn't there just to use me, but he was about making me better and taking care of me. Yeah. And that I didn't have to be the only provider in my house. Right. And so, and that journey has continued. But that was like, that was the start. And I look at that and it's just had such, that lesson has had a huge impact on so much of my life. You know, Adam was talking about the decrease in stress. Like, when I'm in hard circumstances, and this will lead into my next question. When I'm in hard circumstances, like, the thing that I've learned is to stop and say, okay, God, what am I supposed to be learning here?
Yeah.
You know, how, what can, like, I try to lift my perspective from focusing on the issues to focusing on God and seeing what he wants me to do there and how to respond, you know? And I find that, you know, we talked about scriptures that, you know, in James, it says, consider it pure joy, brothers, when you face trials of every kind, for trials bring about perseverance, and perseverance, when it's complete, makes you mature and complete, lacking in nothing. But the reality is, so often we don't get through the trial. Like, we don't pay attention through the trial, and we miss some of the opportunity to learn there. And so that's something I'm still learning how to do better, but I think I do better now than I did 20 years ago when I got laid off the first time, you know? And so, but it's really valuable to me. And like Adam said, it makes me stress less about bad circumstances. So, I think we talked about a lot of it, but if you guys had one thing that you've learned from watching God work amazing things in your life, watching God take care of you, watching God write the score of your life and orchestrate things together, what would that thing be? What would the thing that you would want to share with somebody else be for that?
I think for me, it's the peace he gives me through the tough times. But that peace only comes when I focus on him and put my trust and put my focus and take my senses away from what I'm dealing with and put it towards him. That whatever is stressing me out, whatever is causing me frustration, aggravation, worry, concern lifts and gets replaced. Hmm. But it only seems to happen when I stop and make that direction change. Otherwise, I can just continue to go on the same rope and just get more and more engulfed in stuff that's just going to make me less focused on him and more concerned and actually affect my health.
I get that. Eric, Paul?
I don't know. That's a... I mean, life lessons are one of those things that we either choose to understand and grow from. And like Adam cited, things like stress and frustration and all of those things that just, you know, build up to, you know, basically make the pot eventually pop. That for me, it's like recognizing what that is. And so, it's always been a pause, and that's I guess the only thing I can say is it's a pause. So no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the issue is, no matter how intense it is or how, you know, indirect and you can see it coming from 20 miles away, pausing does wonders for everything. And pausing with quietness is important, because I've learned I am type A. I will make an attempt to jump on something very quickly to solve the problem, to move on to the next thing, or to try to stop the rushing river from destroying the town. I will, you know, institute, you know, three things to make it, you know, get redirected or something. But as I get older, it's more about a pause. It's more about how much longer can I make that pause and just create space. And space is uncomfortable. Space is...
to quote Alanis Morissette, why are you so petrified of silence?
Exactly. But it's critical. Like, as I get older and as I look back at my mentors and the people in my life and the examples I've set, they were big on creating space. They were big on creating pause. And so... the more I feel that we learn how to do that, the bigger the opportunity that you allow God to come in to do what he's wanted to do in the first place, but that you decided that you were going to put up a stopgap for him not to be able to finish through. So being, you know, 47 this year.
You know, wow, you're old.
Yeah, well, 6 months older than you. So... So I'm creating more space and more pause than you are when you're 46. So
that you whippersnapper.
That may be gas, but you know, hey, whatever. That's the biggest thing I can say is that, you know, creating space and creating a pause, because you can then go from there in clarity. You can decide to, you know, hear from others that are speaking in your life. You can take, you know, stock of your past experiences and see how they stack up and whether or not they apply a litmus test to see if they're going to be useful in the future. But, you know, at the same time, it keeps you from being, you know, overly pissed off and overly aggravated and emotional. And,
well, and I would say that the pause keeps you from flailing. Like, the reality is, for those of us that are doers, we can do a lot of stuff and only half of it's really useful.
Sure.
Right. And so the pause kind of helps us. I think that's very valuable. Like, it helps us to stop and respond instead of reacting. Reacting is almost always less effective and less efficient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was trying to incorporate the stop, drop and roll, but that doesn't quite work in this scenario. Although if it was a fire, but then, you know,
Yeah, right.
don't pause at a fire, people. That's the only place I would say don't pause. You know, find the exits very close away. But yeah,
right.
Yeah, no, I think that's the answer to the podcast. To be honest, we've been talking a lot about the spiritual disciplines at church, and I think that the key here, that's the key, is having moments to go, all right, wait a minute, like something's going on here, and until you can take a step back out of it and like look at things from another level. And by the way, like this is all about community. Like, you know, what I was really frustrated with the house situation, like I had the people, like you need both people, right? You need the people that's like, yes, vent to me. I know you're frustrated and this should be a fun time, vent. And then you also need the people to be like, dude, like you're being blessed right now. You just bought a new house. Like it's still great, right? Like it's still, you know, like I need both of those people. I need multiple people in my life to help me see both sides that can be like, let's process this together. And also like, hey, you're being kind of a dope at the moment. And you know, my wife was huge for that. Like she was so gung ho and it was so helpful for me. Cause I just continued to knee jerk reaction the whole entire time. Something would go sideways. And I'd be like, well, that's ridiculous. You know, we're forget this whole thing. And she'd be like, no, like let's, you know, level set here and have some conversation. So I think, but again, if you're just steaming forward, if you're just like being reactive, which I think is the other thing whether you're Christian or not, like, I don't think anybody really wants to be completely impacted by their surroundings and what's going on around them. Like I certainly don't want to be like, I want to just be who I am and be able to step in and be like, no, I don't have to worry about the storm raging around me. I'm just going to come in and be me. And so often we're like tossed about in the waves and things are impacted. And it's not until we get on shore, we look back and go, you know what? That wasn't that bad. I didn't need to react the way that I did. So,
well, the funny thing is you using your storm example, Paul, a storm originates from something very super small, like, and it builds up and builds up and builds up. And usually that, like, if you put that in the perspective of people in that moment, you're in this crazy chaos and all of this craziness is coming about. It's usually because something so small just kept building up and building up, building up. And that carried through that person's life that they just went and, you know, the rains came, the storms, you know, the tidal waves, the tsunamis, all that stuff just came hitting the coast as fast as it possibly could. You know, it's people, you know, that's as humans, we either grow to learn how to be able to, again, build that pause in our life, or we just decide to like get battered by the waves all the time.
Yeah.
And you know, that sucks. And I don't know about you, but I don't like going to the ocean with really bad tidal surf. And it's just constantly like hammering you. It's not fun. You know, nobody likes that, but right. You know, you go to the ocean and it's consistent, you know, calm waves and you enjoy the experience. So, you know, it's crazy how we just can't, I don't know where along the line we just, you know, being humans on this planet, we decide to stop, you know, being just, you know, in the moment and in pausing and waiting. And, you know, whether, like you said, whether they believe in God or not, you know, it's, if you create that opportunity, you'd be surprised what happens, you know, for whatever reason.
Well, cause we have too many distractions, like, and it's not just what? The, you know, it's not just the streaming services. Like it's the, whatever we're, you know, nose deep in at work and family and a bazillion other things where that takes us out of the line,
so it's okay.
What?
I'm always on the line.
You're always online?
No, on the line.
Oh, on the line? Yeah.
Yes, on the line.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I mean, we had that conversation coming into this, right? I had to like close my work email so I would stop doing that so we could have this conversation. Right. Like, because you're right, like there's always something binging for our attention. You know, there's always something that's notifying us that we need to pay attention to it.
Right.
And even if it's not our phone or our computer, we all have families. We all have friends. We all have houses that we have to take care of, you know, and there's all, we all have jobs. We all have things that are hobbies that we're responsible for, that we enjoy for whatever reason. And you're right. Like it's, really easy to just get sucked into the distraction and never stop and think and pray about what comes next. And, you know, the reality is, you know, Eric, I love your analogy about the waves. The reality is sometimes we don't have control over the waves.
Yeah,
we don't have any control over how battered we feel coming out of that storm, you know, and sometimes the things that are affecting us are outside of our control. Like when a family member gets sick or something, that's not a circumstance that was agitated by my misbehavior, their misbehavior. It just sucks. And so, you know, that's when I have to cling to the fact that God takes and works all those things together for good, right? That's when I have to cling to the fact that God is bigger than the circumstances and he loves me and wants what's best for me, even in those horrible times, you know? And so sometimes all we can do when those waves are battering us is not lose our footing. All we can do is stand. And maybe fall in the right direction.
Right.
You know, like, and so I think that pausing helps us restore perspective. I think that, that it restores some of the peace that Adam was talking about. And I think that it's super important, you know, because like Paul said, some of this is about community. Like, as we learn and grow, as we become more mature, more complete, lacking in nothing, we get to help other people with the giftings and the things that God has put into our lives to make us, to help us be that. And so we get to help the communities that we're in, you know, whether it's our business communities or our town communities or our church communities, it doesn't matter. Like, God doesn't see them as separate things. We get to deliver those giftings, those things that God's invested into us, into all of the circumstances we're in. And that's, you know, that's one of the ways that God advances his kingdom here. And I love that, you know. So any closing thoughts, guys? Anything you think we missed that we want to make sure we talk about before we go? Uh-oh, Adam's laughing and he's going to unmute. So, no, he's not. He's actually dropped off or he froze his picture.
Okay, let's bring up the baby photos of Adam now.
Well, guys, I love this topic. It's been a topic that's been very real in my life, especially like it feels like this last week. God's just been re-illuminating it to me. So I'm glad we could have some conversation around it because I love hearing your guys' opinion. I really value what you guys have to say. And I hope for the listeners out there that this is an encouraging conversation. If you want to get in touch with us, you want to ask us any questions, provide any comments, just send us an email at feedback@forefatherspodcast.net.com.
Dot some address somewhere to someone.
It's dot com.
Sure. I have nothing else to do.
I'm just impressed he said feedback and not feedback.
I know, right? We're all biting our feedback.
But we'd love to hear from you because we do, you know, the whole point of this is that we want to pour into the community around us and we're hoping that you guys are part of that. So thank you so much for listening. Please provide ratings in iTunes and in Spotify and anywhere else, whatever podcast platform you're using. If there's a way to provide reviews, that's how people find us. So thanks a lot. Talk to you guys later.
Oh, and thanks for listening to the Forefathers Podcast, where we talk about faith, fatherhood, and other F words. If you want to learn more, head over to our website at the4fatherspodcast.com. If you'd like to help our show, make sure you give us a review on iTunes or in the podcast app of your choice. Those reviews help others find our show. And if you have any other questions or comments, you can send those to feedback@forefatherspodcast.com.